Radio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Becky Bayless.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Sound, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WCI Sunday night.
What the hell is this?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Do you know what this means?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Do you want to be a slacker for the rest of your life?
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
Why do you keep calling me Calvin?
Heartbreak Mike.
Look, I don't want to mess with no reefer addicts, okay?
The Omega.
I'm afraid you're just too darn loud.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
He's an idiot. Comes from upbringing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I have Google Earth. I know where you live.
WTR Sunday Night.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We've got a lot to talk about, and unfortunately, I'm tired of these episodes, Rock.
Hey, at least you had, like, days to digest this. We did this Thursday. Not even 24 hours. Yeah. One of those shows.
It's gonna be one of those.
Like last night, we could do some comedy with it. This one, not so much.
No, absolutely not.
No.
We have some unpleasant topics that we will be getting into later in the show. But for now, I am the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, do we have a Heartbreak Mike?
We have a Heartbreak Mike.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to talk more.
No. Well, I'm kind of like still not fully.
He's not sure what to do.
Hi, I'm Heartbreak Mike, and I don't know what to do. So I'll.
No. It's not that. It's okay. What's up, guys? This is Heartbreak Mike. I'm glad to be here with you guys on WTR on Sunday night.
Good. You should be.
That's a start.
Tim, you gotta work with him on that. Get him to speak more.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bring out his spirit.
Oh, Lord.
Bring the rain, man. Bring the rain.
And, of course, butting into my intro, as he is prone to do, the one and only Tim Stein.
Just trying to help. That's all I'm doing. just trying to help. I'm very helpful, or at least I'm just trying to be helpful. That's all I'm doing.
If you say so, Tim.
I'm not, okay, let me rephrase it. Maybe I'm not being helpful, but at least I'm trying to be.
Trying is a good word. Trying.
Yeah, you're trying. You're very trying. Shut up, Dad. Get out of my head. Oh my God. Flashbacks. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Very upside down week after starting the new year, 2016, with the world's worst news immediately following our very first podcast for the year. Like within a half an hour, I get news David Bowie has passed away. It didn't let up. It was one person after another, and, you know, fuck you, 2016. And then all of a sudden we got a reprieve. People who weren't supposed to die weren't dying.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, like, you know, you live a long life and you die of old age and natural causes, different story, okay? Sad, sorry to see you go, thanks for the memories.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that may come across as a little cold to one or two people, but, you know, it's not cold. It's just being realistic.
It's the facts of life.
Thanks, Blair. Going from there, all of a sudden, everything's rocking and rolling. It's all nice and smooth. We're starting to get into the rhythm. Okay, we're settling into 2016. Tap on the shoulder, sucker punch to the jaw. And it wasn't just one or two people. Several people, and it started with the ninth wonder of the world, China. I'm having a hard time with this one, guys, for a couple of different reasons. China was 46 years old. That is just way too young. Way too young to be found dead.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, she was 46. She was actually born in 1969, 1970, like some reports were saying. We all know of China's problems since leaving WWE, WWF at the time. We all know the things that she has done. She has attempted regular rehab. She even went to celebrity rehab. She had problems. And it all just seems to stem from getting dumped by Triple H when he started actually seeing Stephanie for real as opposed to storyline.
I would disagree with you.
That was like the catalyst.
I say it goes farther back into our childhood.
Well, that was, okay, that was the straw that stirred the drink, if
okay.
you will.
Okay.
Okay, if you want to get that specific in depth,
mm-hmm.
wound up being the straw to stir the drink because, and granted, back then, no internet, no 24/7 wrestling news, spelled with a Z, news sites all over the internet, no dirt sheets, no, ability for people to get on the computer and be keyboard warriors. Reports still came out. They came out on, you know, via different channels back then. Not every minutia of somebody's life was examined the way it can be now with the internet. However, there weren't so many reports. People found out about China's past because China spoke about them in interviews and wrote a book and not from people digging or quoting anonymous sources or anything like that. The whole thing with Triple H and Stephanie, that was the straw that stirred the drink. We are going to spend this first segment here talking a little bit about China, Johnny Lore, and, we're going to be pointing out a lot of different thoughts and opinions of everybody who has expressed their thought and their opinion from one extreme to another. Omega and I had a quick little chat about this, and I'm in agreement with what Omega suggested. And I am going to make a statement immediately after we hear this audio clip. Rock, are you queued up and ready to go with it?
Ready to roll.
Okay. This was sent in to us by a guy that we affectionately know as Mace, currently in the chat room. You guys might remember him.
Quitter.
Around. Huh? What?
Quitter, you abandoned me.
Oh, there you go.
I don't love you anymore.
There you go. Well, he's the only, you're the only one he misses, apparently, but we're going to hear that in the clip. Anyway, no, I said from one extreme to another, this, what he sent to us was his thoughts and opinions. And we have always been about, you know, you're your own person. Don't be a sheep. If you got something to say, say the goddamn thing and be your own person. Don't follow everybody. What he sent to us was one end of the spectrum. I would say it was slightly on the extreme side. But it really echoes a lot of things that I have read on the internet since news of China's passing. That being prefaced, Rock, go ahead.
You replaced. Basically, I'm going to keep this nice and short. It's sad to see China pass on. She did do a lot of good things for professional wrestling, especially female professional wrestling. And if I had to pick anything of hers to sort of look back on and see in a positive light, it would be her time with Eddie Guerrero, the whole Mamacita angle. That type of thing was just very well done. Two great performers that enjoyed doing what they did. However, I'm not going to be like so many others that I've seen on this topic and excuse what she has done post-WWE. When she left the company, she put so many drugs and everything into her body and went on stupid tirades and burnt all her bridges, and she basically created an isolation bubble around herself, so when the time came where she needed help the most, it was never going to happen. Now, I'm sorry if this sounds crass and probably the wrong thing to say, but I have zero sympathy for somebody who does this type of thing to themselves, and then all of a sudden when they do pass on, when that demon finally does catch up to them, the world just looks at them and goes, oh my god, that was such a great person, they were a great this, and they only see the positives. I'm sorry, this woman did not want to help herself, so I have zero sympathy for what she has done to end her life. Now, it's all speculation at the moment as to what has ended her life, but I'd pretty much say it's got something to do with the drugs that she's put in her body. The scary thing about drugs is even once you get clean, the damage they have done to your body still lingers. Eddie Guerrero, again, is a example of this. He got clean, he got sober, he started putting his life back together, but the years of abuse that his body went through because of the drugs caught up with him and caused his death. There's a high chance that this is exactly what's happened with China. Now, she was a great talent in the ring, she was enjoyable, but I'm sorry, I'm not gonna see her put into the Hall of Fame just because she died, and suddenly that erases the bad that you have done. So that's pretty much all I've got to say on the topic. I miss Omega, I don't miss anyone else. I will talk to you down the road.
And there's that clip from Ace, who, because of I don't know, maybe it's the way I worded it, he figured out that you know, he's on the wrong end of things. I never said that. I never implied that. I never made that statement. It's an extreme opinion. There are, you know, just because it's an extreme opinion doesn't mean that it's the wrong opinion. That being said, he's not all that far wrong at all, Omega.
He's not. I mean, it's a perfectly valid point of view.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I will admit, like, the first thing that I thought when I saw that report was, well, it looks like a demon caught up to her.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it would seem like. Because it is unfortunate, but, you know, it's just, it's a matter of how you view that sort of, you know, you view that sort of thing. I mean, yeah, her, you know, she did have a decline, and she did have a particular lifestyle she adopted after, you know, the breakup with Triple H and then leaving the WWE altogether. You know, but it's one of those things, like, it's the lifestyle of the time. Other guys got sober, she didn't, and you can look down on her for that, or you can go, well, that's what that kind of lifestyle leads to. Sometimes it's not easy to pull yourself out, and sometimes you're a victim of it. It's just a different viewpoint. You know, he's absolutely right on a lot of that, but you know, I can disagree without it being wrong.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely. Exactly. Now, Mike, this is your chance to, you can agree with what he said. You can disagree with what he said. You have to accept that he has the right to say it. That's the only thing. You can't say that he had no right to say that.
This is America or Australia. Where the fuck are we?
We keep on rocking in the free world. How's that?
Okay.
There you go. So, Mike, it's your turn to either rebut, agree, or whatever.
When it comes to that discussion, as I talked about it, pretty much I can't say that he's wrong. I mean, she's had an opportunity, and, I mean, she blew it. And it just, the demons, it's what it is. It's like, we don't know we do know what triggered it. Maybe, maybe not. But to me, it was just, she probably needed more help. She probably needed a person out there to look out for her. Maybe it was, you know, doing those stuff was like a cry for help, you know, and no one heard her cry. No one heard, you know, help me, but the drugs really got to her and all the things that got to her. And just like you said, she died too young. I'm sorry if I'm getting emotional about this, but it's for a person that actually got the opportunity to meet her. It, you know, just her being a nice person and whatnot, but just seeing the struggle, you know, the cry for help. And it's just, her demons got the best of her, but I truly think that she should have gotten more help. Somebody should have, like, reached out to her. And that's the only thing I can say for that for right now.
Yeah. Mason in his little editorial brought up Eddie Guerrero, and I felt 100% completely different with the passing of Eddie than I wound up feeling with the passing of China. Yeah, I was sad. It's all too bad and everything else like that. But again, my thoughts echo Omega's and Mace's, right? And to some extent yours as well, Mike. She could have gotten help. People offered help. She didn't bother getting the proper kind of help. The onus is on the addict to reach out and accept the hand that is being held out to them. And when the addict finally realizes, oh shit, I can't live like this, I've got to clean up, that's when they grasp the helping hand. As long as the person with the problems is ignoring the problems and saying, F you, I don't need your help, you're not going to be able to help him. Eddie Guerrero cleaned his act up, got himself off of alcohol and drugs and painkillers and everything else that he was addicted to. And I remember at a WWE house show one time, a fan actually spilt some beer into Eddie's mouth. You might remember this now that I bring this up. It was not a huge, huge big news story, but Eddie went ballistic and almost attacked the fan for the fan getting beer in Eddie's mouth. You know, Eddie, recovering alcoholic. When you put down the bottle, you're never cured of alcoholism. You are, for the rest of your life until you die or revert, you're a recovering alcoholic, just like drug addiction. Once you kick the habit, you're not drug free. To the extent, well, you know, I'm not addicted anymore. No, you're always a recovering addict, Omega.
Yeah, the addiction's always there. It's just a matter of becoming stronger than the addiction.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's willpower. I'm not going to say that Joni didn't have willpower. I think maybe she didn't have the right kind of willpower, if that makes any sense at all. Because when she put her mind to something, she did it. And when she let something control her, then that's exactly what happened. But if you're happy in your own skin, nothing anybody else does is going to change that. Nothing anybody else does is going to change that. It's well known that I have zero sympathy at all for people who commit suicide, die of drug overdoses, accidental or otherwise. My thinking is, you dumb shit, this is your fault. This is... people have made light of me saying that I'm still mad at Robin Williams. Like a year and a half later, I'm still so pissed off at Robin Williams to the point where I have not watched a rerun of a movie of his. I have, like turn the channel or find something else to do whenever something pops up on TV that happens to be a Robin Williams movie. I can't do it. And sure, with Robin Williams, there was underlying stuff going on.
but he still could have gotten help. It's with Robin Williams, it's not all that much different than what, you know, with Joni Lohr. I mean, you stop and you think about it. You understand what I'm saying, Mike?
Yeah, I understand completely with that. If someone wants to help you, beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah, exactly. If somebody wants to help you, then they want to help you. But if you don't accept that help, then it ain't going to do you no good.
Right.
If you don't take it. That being said, a lot of people have said harsher things, worse things, and wrong things about China on, you know, you go to these sites that reported the news, and then underneath they've got the little discuss where you can type in your comments in the comment section.
A wealth of editorial wisdom in those.
Oh, yeah, and really good spelling, too. Some of them use word spelling with two L's. But anyway, yeah, all of these people have their own thoughts, beliefs, and opinions. A lot of them are flat out wrong. A lot of them are really, 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 really harsh. You know, Mace laid it out there. And like I said, it's extreme, not in that it's really harsh, but it's extreme in that he doesn't pull any punches with his statement. He lays is what he does. And like, hey, you know what? Bottom line, not being a dick, but here's the way I feel about it. And this is what I got from what he said, Omega.
Yeah. And that's always been Mace, you know?
Well, yeah, he is a
steel chair shot to the head.
Yep.
Yeah.
Even though that's no longer allowed in WWE, unless Cena or Undertaker or Brock Lesnar or Triple H. But yeah, you know, that being said, I think we're all on the same page that God damn it, woman, we're mad at you because you didn't accept the help you were offered. And we know that she was offered on more than one occasion, on numerous occasions. She was offered that help at one point in time. Just recently, she was doing what is that? Celebrity rehab?
Yeah.
Where people here's $10,000 to be on the show for 4 weeks. Now don't go spend the money on drugs, but you know, once you're out of celebrity rehab, we don't care what the hell happens to you.
Exactly real rehab.
Yeah. So, other people in the past have reached out. I don't think now that we've, stated what we've stated and gotten our thoughts and beliefs all out there, I think it's only common decency that we actually look at some of the stuff that China did that entertained us. Some of the more positive things.
I mean, I guess I'll go first. There's so many things that China has done, but the one thing that is going to stand out was that she was the first woman to hold the Intercontinental title.
Ah, the only.
The only, as a matter of fact, the only woman to hold the Intercontinental Championship.
Count them. How many times?
How many times, Jesus? But the matches that she pulled for the Intercontinental title, it was a story. China told in the ring. China told a story. Those three times, she told a story. Mm-hmm. Especially when she came back from the when she got the women's championship, when she was taking on Ivory, when she came back, she told a story. China told a story. And Tim, you know, and I know that that's what a booker loves, someone that can tell a story.
Well, that's just the way you're supposed to do things.
Yeah.
In that ring wrestling, tell a goddamn story and use psychology. Sorry, that's a novel concept today.
But it's just amazing because she always was able to help pulling in the story, like with her match with Lita and her segment with D-Generation X. Those are some things that I can look at and say, thank you, China, for that entertainment.
Now, Omega?
I could echo a lot of the same things. You know, and I believe, you know, that's one reason why we get so upset with her for not seeking help is because, God damn it, like, we have a lot of great memories of her. It is how much we enjoyed her as a performer that makes us so angry that, you know, she went out the way she did. You know, for me, I remember, of course, I remember the DX runs, of course, being the start of her career. You know, I went back looking through clips, and I remember the first night that she started to actually speak on a microphone. When like she went from being that, she went from being just this like this merciless bodyguard type to someone who's actually in the frat house with the boys and actually started showing a lot of that personality. Yeah, the Eddie runs were really entertaining. She's one of those people that just, she had barriers broken down, and they describe that a lot. They leave out parts like, it's barriers you wouldn't have thought were even there. You know, winning the Intercontinental Championship 3 times, no less. And, you know, that was huge. You know, entering the Royal Rumble. We've seen women enter the Rumble since then. That was the first. You know, it was to the point where when she started competing for like the Women's Championship, it's just like, really? Really? Because you just entered a monster truck in a demolition derby.
Yep.
It just didn't seem right. China was too badass for this. I remember the entrance. Like I remember her as like the first diva or the first, let's not disgrace her with that. Like the first woman's wrestler I remember that had like an actual pyro show for her entrance. It's probably my favorite pyro. Like coming out with a big ass missile launcher and firing out rockets. It was one of those entrances that I was always excited to see because it was something that fit her persona so much. God, it's just I don't know. It's hard to encapsulate. I've got a lot of fond memories of her because I don't even, looking back, I realize, you know, she was like the first, you know, right now when we're in the midst of the Divas Revolution / women's wrestling, you know, rebirth, I don't think back to her as a diva or even a women's wrestler. She's just a really good wrestler.
The ninth wonder of the world.
Yeah.
Very appropriate title.
Yeah, no kidding. You're going to say something, Mike.
She was one of the, yeah, the ninth wonder of the world, but she was also one of the founding mothers. For her, if it wasn't for her, we probably wouldn't see how women's wrestling is today. Honestly, if it wasn't for the older generation female wrestlers,
I wouldn't call her a founding mother.
I mean, okay, one of the
kind of sort of sounds like a slander. First off,
okay.
But
sorry. Well, if it wasn't for her, women's wrestling today would not as it is.
Yeah, she was revolutionary for women's wrestling. She wasn't revolutionary for the Divas division, but she was revolutionary for women's wrestling. I mean, after China, you had Trish, you had Lita, and it was just way too immediate for Trish and Lita to look back and say, oh, you know, I idolized China, but you never know, maybe they did. I know that Natty Neidhart looked up to China, her in-ring career, at any rate. And I'm pretty sure that this was a pretty devastating blow to Natalia when she found out. And I don't know if this is name-dropping or not, just because I brought her up. But knowing her, the way that I know her, I'm pretty sure that she was pretty devastated over it. Today's generation of woman wrestler, Tamina, Natalia, the slightly younger new bloods, Sasha and Bayley and Charlotte. I'm sure like they all, at one point in time when they were little kids hanging around WWF with their parents and their relatives who were in the business back then, were like, oh my God, it's China. I mean, Mick Foley had several incredible stories about remembering what China did back then when his daughter was just the tiniest little girl. China would take her by the hand, take her to the makeup station, and they'd get her all prettied up with the, you know, with the makeup and the glitter and everything else like that. And it was just something that Mick has always remembered. So, you know, the ones today fighting for what they got, look at her. And maybe she didn't have to fight so much because when she came in, she was dating Triple H. So her spot was guaranteed. However, that didn't mean that she didn't open up doors down the road. You know what I'm saying?
Well, she's dating Triple H at a time when Trips didn't have a whole lot of power backstage. It's just pretty much, that was back when it was just click manipulation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, she was a beneficiary of the behind the scenes, manipulation and maneuvering. How's that?
We'll go with that.
Because of her, association with DX. And, oh, speaking about DX, you know, like some of the things that I remember, watching China in the ring. When DX was going around, she was the perfect, you know, and I'm, you know, with the air quotes, straight man for both Trips and, HBK, Hunter and Shawn Michaels. I remember, on more than one occasion, she caused Shawn to like stop in mid-match just because, he took a bump or whatever and he wound up eye level with her boobs. And he would just like stop and stare at him. That was funny, but she never even broke a grin. She was just like the look on her face, it just granted, right? And it was funny. What's your favorite China moment, Mike?
Oh, my favorite China moment was when she went, when she was, when they thought that China could not compete for the to be number one contender, and she did. That was kind of, hey, hey, I may be a woman, but I can still kick your ass.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of my favorite moments.
Omega, have you got one?
Because one that has been mentioned. I liked seeing her pitch Henry out of the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. Okay.
Cause, yeah. You know, cause these days, it takes like half the guys in the ring just to lumber Mark over the top rope. She's hurled his ass.
And I'm sure that, yeah, he kayfabed helped that, but still it looked awesome to see. one of my favorite China matches, was the Good Housekeeping match. You guys remember that?
Jarrett. Was that Jarrett?
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And Jarrett was doing the whole male chauvinist dominant pig thing and challenged her to a good housekeeping match. And, she literally, flowered the entire ringside with him. Like literally, she actually smashed him with flour. With a bag of flour. Kicked his ass, beat him. And that was actually, Jarrett's farewell match in WWE, WWF. That's when he took off for WCW. If I remember correctly. But, you know, that was like my favorite match. There were things that happened, that still stick with me that just, they were hilarious. I can't remember who it was she was fighting in the ring. It was a guy. She was fighting a male wrestler in the ring. He was getting beat up. For some reason, I'm thinking this must be Eddie. At one point in time, she was wrestling with Eddie and he forgot that he was fighting a woman and he goes and, from behind tries to give her a low blow and he brings up his, arm between her legs and she just kind of stands there and like shrugs. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it's, I don't remember specifics. I remember China dealt low blows a lot.
Yeah, she gave her own share.
But I don't remember that specific occurrence, no.
Okay, okay.
Which, yeah, you ask a girl, like, that's going to hurt them too. Just because it's internal doesn't mean it doesn't get hit.
Yeah, well, it's not going to hurt them the way it hurts us. That's just the truth of the matter. They're going to notice it, but not to the extent we do. Anyway, yeah, you know, there's a lot of good to remember about China. One of the things that's probably unfortunate, and it's partly her doing, and it's also partly Triple H and Vince. I really can't see her being inducted posthumously into the WWE Hall of Fame.
The scary thing is, part of me really feels like someone in Stanford was waiting for this to happen before approving her for the Hall of Fame. Because there is a certain, you know, because this isn't a situation like Sunny where, okay, she's kind of off the radar. And then once she had her Hall of Fame ring is when she really started going off the rails. You know, this was, well, we don't know how much longer these, you know, we don't know how much longer she is going to be like this. And we don't know if, she's ever going to get better. You know, there's someone thinking public image about inducting someone like China while she is like that. And You know, can she even hold herself together for a Hall of Fame presentation? You know,
yeah,
it's not a pleasant thought, but it's the kind of things you think of in a boardroom meeting when you're deciding, well, who are we going to make who do we want coming back for this appearance?
Yeah.
So you might have a point, but how hypocritical do they look, especially Triple H? And Stephanie's going to take the brunt of the slings and the arrows over all of this, because she's the other woman, and the other woman is, you know, the devil, right?
Really? Yeah, well, you always have that with her. I genuinely don't know. Like, I'm actually interested to see how they handle her as far as the Hall of Fame goes now.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's part of me that, yeah, I fully believe someone was not willing to put her in as long as she was either A, still, as long as she was still addicted and still not seeking help. And part of me thinks, well, if we're going to induct her, you know, it has to be when she can't embarrass us anymore. And unfortunately, this is a situation where that is true. But I think eventually you do see her. Like, I hope, because there's part of me that could see, like, such a part of me that could see WWE doing the overreaction thing like they did with Eddie, like they did with Edge retiring. It's like, well, fresh in the minds, really tragic. Now let's induct them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'd rather let it blow off so that the circumstances behind it are less prominent than the good memories people have of her, and then posthumously put her in.
Okay. Mike, do you think it would be a bad idea for it to occur at the next Hall of Fame, next April?
That to me is iffy, because after just reading and stuff, it's like, when you put her in the Hall of Fame now, it's like, oh, now you want to put her in the Hall of Fame. And it's like, oh, well, I guess they finally, you know, had a change of heart and yada, yada, yada. But truth be told, I really think she should do it. Well, they should. And I say they're probably going to wait till next year. Well, not, you know, the one coming up, but the one after next year.
So you would wait, like, call it 2 years. It's not quite 2 years.
Well, because I don't know. Well, I don't know if they've already picked their list. If they add her onto it, cool. But if she's not on it this year, if they didn't add her just recently, having a whole board meeting, all right, guys, let's put China in the Hall of Fame. Let's put her in the Hall of Fame this year. If not, definitely she's going to be headlining for the next one.
Well, if it was me and I was going to finally buckle and say, okay, let's, you know, our dead wrestler Hall of Fame inductee, I wouldn't do it next year. I'd wait till the year afterwards, just to help alleviate a little bit of that hypocrisy, perceived, real or otherwise. Right?
Yeah.
At least, because it's just like, don't do the knee-jerk thing and, oh, what, she died and we feel bad because we treated her like shit because she was like 3 seconds away from stalking Vince McMahon and wouldn't leave Triple H alone and blah, 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 and everything else like that. So let's do it. No, don't do that. People aren't going to forget China in 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years. Inductor, sure. Does she belong? I personally think so. The only woman to hold the Intercontinental title once, twice, three times. The only woman to hold the Intercontinental title, period. Number one, her ability to actually compete on the same level as the men. Number two, being part of DX. Yes. You know, you could keep going on and reaching for reasons for her to be in the Hall of Fame. She deserves it.
Honestly, if she could have gotten cleaned up and if she could have like gotten over those demons, I could have seen her as the first woman to headline.
Mm-hmm. I gotta agree with you. I do. But now, in my mind, I'm wondering, if she goes into the Hall of Fame, who's going to induct her?
Mm. Oh, let's see. You know, it won't be, it wouldn't be Triple H or Vince. I think he could probably put X-Pac on that list, too.
I would have to say Mick Foley, probably.
that would be, to tell you the truth, especially based on the thing I read from Mick Foley today, that he posted after he found out China died. That would probably be the most logical choice to induct her. So, yeah, you know, I don't know. But once again, here we are, at the end of our first segment. We spent almost an entire hour talking about, Joni Lore, and, stuff like this is never any good. Never. It's 9 times out of 10 when you have to talk about the tragic passing of a, current or former wrestler at a young age. It's never, it seems like it's never because of something they didn't do to themselves. You know what I mean?
It's like gone too soon, but then it's like, God damn it, gone too soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just, you know, like, I don't know, anybody who's listening who happens to be a pro wrestler currently in there, whether you're listening live, hi Aaron, I know you're in the chat room, or if you're going to be a professional wrestler, you know, if you're listening to the recorded archive of this program, know that we understand that you really want to get out there, and it's not because you want the fame and you want to be recognized by the fans. It's because it's in your blood and it's something you want to do. Focus on that. Get it done. Do it. Stay away from the crap that's out there, because this is a perfect example of the trap you can fall into. Wrapping up just before we go to break, any closing thoughts, Mike?
You pretty much kind of said what I was thinking. It's don't get yourself caught in it.
Omega?
Yeah. All I could really do is echo that sentiment at this point.
You know, my final statement on this whole thing is just an addendum to call it a plea going out there to the people currently in the spotlight, the people who are fighting to get to the point where they're going to be in the spotlight, the people who are training. The kids coming up. This is what it is. It's a plea from, you know, I'm being a fan right now. It's a plea from me and all of those who are like-minded. Don't fuck up your life. That said, I think it's time for our first break of the evening, everybody. Hey, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Coming up tonight, we have Pick 'em. That's right. We've got Payback coming up next weekend. So we've got a preview and give you a chance to pick who you think is going to win. Maybe you got a prize. Maybe you don't. You'll find out in the third segment. That said, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moment.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw. It was me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa, I mean, it's amazing.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28. But I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it.
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh!
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This without burning himself.
I don't know, but there's way too much smoke.
Yeah, there is.
Just do the line.
Oh, right. Right. We're here.
Every Thursday night, be a part of the experience known as The Rack. From all the latest wrestling news, discussions, recaps of NXT and SmackDown, interviews with all of our favorite superstars, and more. Follow the Buzzards to The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs fans. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Comes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I don't... I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, you know, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck?
It just gets weirder and weirder.
Oh,
I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Where are you, Gundam Style, over here?
That's a horse you have, that's a horse you
have. Gundam Style. Gundam
Style. Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't know.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. I'm going to wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
I hated that song. Rock, I think you just replaced the song in my head with a worse song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Macarena
style. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
is Matt Hardy, version 1, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Nights, along with the biggest MFers on the planet. And they're setting up and learning from the Sensei of Mattitude. So make sure to tune in each and every week and catch WrestleTalk Radio. And in closing, I am the one! Oh.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Coming back, actually the entire night's filled with, Prince songs as, we're playing them, in tribute, in memoriam. Prince Rogers, have passed away also. The news comes out less than 12 hours later that he was found, unresponsive in the elevator at Paisley Park, which is the recording studio that he had attached to his mansion. One really, really class act, great musician, great performer, great entertainer. And I tell you, the sight coming of Jimi Hendrix on that goddamn guitar, the late, great Prince, man, rest in peace. And just thank you for all of the beautiful music you've given so many decades.
Jesus Christ, 2016.
This is what I said, yeah. So
David Bowie's gone. Prince is gone.
Yep.
Jesus. Mahoney's gone.
Someone get Paul McCartney down to a steel bunker underground right now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, no kidding. This is just absolute tragic irony. I follow Patton Oswalt on Twitter. Do you follow him?
Yeah.
Okay. After the announcement in the news of, the passing of Prince, you saw all of his tweets.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say he was making fun of it or anything like that. It was just Patton Oswalt's way of, paying tribute to the artist. Formerly known as the artist, formerly known as. And he was being all light about it. And then 12 hours later, his wife passes away at the age of 45. And that was suddenly, she went in her sleep. So yeah, fuck you, 2016. Damn.
Yeah, I feel horrible for that one because they've got a 7-year-old.
Yep.
Yeah.
God, how do you explain that mom just didn't wake up to a 7-year-old?
Very difficult.
Not easily by any means at all. And you can understand and empathize, but I tell you, you just don't quite have the grasp you think you have until you become a parent and have to deal with that fear. That worry, that concern.
I felt a lot for that one because, he was talking about that relationship in his stand-up routines when it started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you follow his comedy specials, kind of note for note, you kind of follow that whole relationship as it evolved as, first falling in love with her, marrying her, having a kid. It's a person that I've never, I've never seen her works. She was a crime writer.
Uh-huh.
Yep. She did true crime, not Agatha Christie. She was a true crime writer.
But it felt like I knew her because I followed so much of Patton's material.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
God, this year sucks.
Damn you, 2016.
So, yeah, with all of this, sometimes we forget life goes on. We just got to continue and keep fighting the good fight until it's time to throw in the towel or not to get metaphorical or anything like that, but wait until the judge's decisions at the end of the bout. So with that being said, we're going to roll on with WTR Sunday Night Russ Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network and free on your mobile device via the TuneIn app. If you don't have it, get it 100% free. You can listen to radio stations all around the world while you're out and about on the go. You want to listen to any of the great Wild Talk Radio Network programming? Well, good luck finding it. But you can listen to what we do stream live on the TuneIn app. Just download it and search Wild Talk Radio Network.
Simple, easy, free.
And fun. How's it fun? Because it's free. Free is always fun. Yeah, speaking about fun, guys, here's the deal. We started with the SummerSlam edition of the all-time greatest. We're going to the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment, and the all-time greatest moment will be decided the night of SummerSlam when we do our SummerSlam review show.
Maybe.
Well, you know, provided things work out properly, that's how it's supposed to go.
Maybe sooner than that, we'll see.
It might wind up being a week earlier or a week later, depending on something
yeah,
that happens.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, for the first time ever, the all-time greatest is 100% interactive, and it was proven last week your votes count. We're giving you the chance to vote on the all-time greatest SummerSlam moments, plural, because there's a whole bracket up there. And voting is still open currently for this week's edition of the all-time greatest, which sees Shane and Tess battling over Stephanie McMahon, taking on Shawn Michaels' return to the ring. Jon Stewart costing John Cena is taking on The Undertaker beating Brock. Now, beating is in air quotes. Brock Lesnar. Both of those incidents happened at 215. Which one of those four are the two all-time greatest for this week? You get to choose, and here's how you do it. Go to www.wrestletalkradio.com. It's really stupid simple now because the producer finally paid attention to what I've been telling him for 5 years and put it together so even a dummy can figure out which two links to click for the two separate votes. I'm not calling any of you guys dummy. Well, except maybe Aaron, but...
Because we do everything focused around him.
There you go.
So.
Yeah. Well, you know, Aaron's in the chat room. And,
I know.
Even with all the times he picks on me, he'll send me a text message out of the blue. You're an idiot. Fuck, what was that? You know? So I'm just getting even with country boy Aaron Frost.
So, let's go vote at WrestleTalkRadio.com. Simple, easy. And, by the way, we have another poll going for the show, Tim.
We have another poll going for this show?
Yes. Everyone should go to twitter.com/wildtalkradio and vote on this poll. And simple. Yes or no. Should Omega get a T-Rex for his wall? Yes or no?
No. Oh,
there you go. Okay. I did not know there was a poll for this show, but there you go. Omega T-Rex, vote yes.
Fuck you all.
There you go. www.wrestletalkradio.com. Vote for the all-time greatest. Your votes will count. The final tally will be announced, and that will actually count as a vote. This is like Electoral College in the States, really. I think I made that observation last week.
Yes, you did. Your vote matters, and right now it does because one of them is tied to 50-50, so go vote.
Yeah, if you haven't voted, go vote. We need to break the tie.
So there you go. Now let's talk fun things, Tim. Let's do some fun stuff.
Guys, guess what happened at an NXT house show? The other day.
What happened?
Okay. Oh, God. Who got hurt now? Not again.
This is awesomeness. Really, it is. Our very own Heartbreak Mike won the NXT championship. Only when he did it, he changed his name to Samoa Joe. How'd you do it, Mike?
Well, funny thing. I did it. Well, see, technically, I didn't beat the demon. I beat Finn Balor.
You only beat him because he hurt his leg.
Supposedly.
Allegedly.
He was wrestling the next day.
Allegedly.
Yeah, there you go. No, Samoa Joe wins the NXT championship. Now, guys, usually when a champion is dropping the title in NXT, that means that they're getting called up to the main roster almost any time. So we're going to see Finn Balor make his debut tomorrow night?
See you on Monday.
No. Nope.
You want to elaborate, Omega?
Well, he's not. Well, when he comes out and fans have video of him going, see you on Monday, he's trolling, because Finn's a troll that way.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, like with the makeup, he kind of looks like one.
Har.
No, the logical place to see him is at Payback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we know Gallows and Anderson are going to get involved in that match, and you know they're going to come in there, jump Reigns, that they're working for the leader of the Bullet Club, and yes, they are, but it's not the one in the match.
Nope, it's a swerve.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so obvious that people don't realize it, Omega. Mike?
Why is WWE so predictable?
To be fair, it's a better storyline than they usually run with. It's one of those storylines that has nothing to do with the champion, which being Roman Reigns right now is a big plus, number one. Number two, it's the kind of introduction to a team, it's the kind of like thing that we haven't seen as a build-up for new performers in the WWE since probably the Attitude Era. You know, it's a very like late 90s way of bringing two guys, you know, coming out, storming a match and walking out. You know, no, we got your back. We got your back, and playing up they're playing up history.
Right?
When does WWE play history anymore?
And it's not even their own history.
No.
Exactly. They mention where they're from. And I think they're finally learning their lesson on that, because when I know that you all caught it when Gallows and Anderson, when they first got to Monday Night Raw, and they knew exactly where they came from.
I think a lot of the recent things that they've taken risks on paying off so well have really shown them a lot about where their audience is and where the performers really are these days. Because we have Samoa Joe debut, and everyone knows who Joe is. Like, everyone already has his chants down. Everyone's popping as soon as he walks out of that entrance ramp. We've already got a star, and we didn't have to do anything.
Who? Sure, I had to.
But since then, they've taken bigger risks, you know, like, okay, so Austin Aries comes out to a huge pop. They know who Austin Aries is. You just show some of these guys on camera, and everyone knows who they are. Japanese stars, like Kenta, you know, showing up in NXT, just in the crowd, and people going, oh, I know who that is. You know, and more recently with Bobby Roode. And then you have AJ, just like it was WCW, send him straight to the main roster, put him into a big feud right away, like he's a big star coming from somewhere else. And the pop is thunderous. We didn't have to build these guys at all, and our crowd knows who they are.
And the best thing that plays in that factor, when they brought in AJ Styles, he's been selling the merch.
And you know, exactly.
Vince loves the dude to sell the merch and make some money.
Mm-hmm.
Which means they're willing to take more risk because it pays off. If no one bought the merch for AJ, none of this probably would be happening.
Exactly. The thing that I have seen is that WWE is, I can't believe I'm saying this out of my mouth, but WWE is actually somewhat listening. Because when NXT TakeOver Dallas, when they played that video of Nakamura, shit hit the fan. And when NXT Dallas TakeOver Dallas came out, everyone was waiting for him. They gave this man, by far to me, one of the greatest entrances in NXT so far.
And everybody knew who Shinsuke was.
Yeah, everyone knew who Shinsuke was. And that, to me, was a huge, okay, they're listening. Just like with Liger. Okay, they're listening. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm seeing it, and when Anderson and Gallows showed up, you heard the pop. Okay, they're listening. And then they played with the history about the Bullet Club. Okay. They're listening.
Now, my question, are they actually going to try to get the name Bullet Club?
Tried,
no.
Failed.
They already
tried. Failed, yeah.
NJPW said, oh, no, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
You don't like the way I said that?
Really? Really? Please, again, admin at wildtalkradio.com if you're offended by the accents of Tim Stein.
If you're offended by an accent, you've got bigger things to deal with, and you need a hobby. Konnichiwa, Nick. Good to see you, mate.
Nick, answer my message on Skype. I need help.
Apparently, he's got a question for you, Nick. You might want to answer him. You can catch him on Skype.
Anyway, as Tim has done like 5 different accents in the last 2 minutes.
I have not done 5 different accents. I did one. I did one. I did a really bad fake Japanese English accent. What the hell is wrong with you? Well, so I say, konnichiwa, Nick, how you doing? And I get a fuck you, Tim, out of the blue.
On behalf of Japan. Right. Anyway.
And you're not entitled. You're not entitled to say fuck you on behalf of the entire country of Japan because you're from New Zealand. You're a Kiwi. So it doesn't count. You're not allowed to speak for them.
Circling back.
Back to the topic at hand. Finn Balor is not leaving NXT anytime soon. Don't even expect to see him at Payback.
What if he's working both?
Oh, geez, we haven't seen that before.
I know, right? Something totally new. I would expect him probably at Payback, and I'll talk more about it in a little while. But he could be on Raw. You never know.
It seems like they're blowing their load a little early.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see him on Raw tomorrow night.
No, but it's going to be very soon.
Because in my mind, to debut him at Payback that way is a really good way of saving that match from being kind of a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, hey, no one likes Roman. Everyone loves AJ, and we have to keep the belt on Roman because it took us 2 years to put it on in the first place.
And I was just about to say, you can develop an unfinished that's acceptable, whether it may taste bad, but it'll be accepted. And people are like, okay, this really tastes bad, but Finn Balor is just like the drink that goes with it, and the drink is really good.
And the drink comes with a little note that says, give us a month, and you'll get Balor versus AJ.
Yep.
Oh my God.
Wipe your chin, Omega. Wipe your chin. You're drooling. There you go. That's better. But yeah, I want that match.
Everyone wants that match.
Oh shit. You know, you stop and you think about it. All of these names that have just recently been called up, that are going to get called up in the very near future, that are coming later this year. I feel bad for NXT, and I'm so looking forward to the main roster. I'll tell you that much.
If you look up and down the roster from where we were a year ago and where we are now, there are a lot of new faces on this roster.
A hell of a lot. Part of it's necessity from injuries and retirements, etc. But part of it, you know, is everybody who's up earned it. That's for you cannot deny that.
Yeah.
It's the one good thing that comes across when injuries happen in WWE is it does present opportunities and it does force them to take risks, especially when we've got so many injuries mounting.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look up and down, you got Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Tyler Breeze, who can't win a match.
Oh, God.
You got the Vaudevillains, Enzo and Cass up there. You have the Lucha Dragons, who debuted just after WrestleMania last year.
Your next number one contenders for the tag team championships are going to be a team that was just in and very much just in NXT.
They're listening.
Oh yeah, they're listening. Hi Zach, how you doing?
What a slap on the face.
But you just look at
you
the
want
town.
To talk low blows. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Mr.
TNA is going to headline a WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, yep. A year ago, never would have thought it.
No, absolutely not.
If you look at the Payback card, there's a lot of stuff that you never would expect would happen at WWE.
And it's good. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. WWE's gain is sort of sometimes like TNA's losses. Right, Tim?
Speaking of TNA.
Yeah, speaking about TNA, who's dumb enough to buy TNA? Do you want to buy TNA, Mike?
No, but there actually is someone that is interested in buying it, as of yesterday.
Oh, really? Who's interested, Mike?
Wait, let me make sure that I'm completely accurate. We'll save time. Nope. Actually, as of Friday, Jesus Christ. Pro Wrestling Sheets.
Jesus Ryan Christ wants to?
No. Oh,
okay.
Stop that.
He just cursed.
Because I was going to say, he might be the one person that could save that company.
No, even Christ couldn't save TNA.
Right?
Jesus saves TNA.
No, stop that.
Second generation superstar, don't forget.
I get it. That was good. Continue, Mike, if you can, without laughing your ass off.
Alright. The reporter who, well, apparently the person to invest TNA, possibly the favorite, is Pro Wrestling Sheet's Ryan Satin, who became the first person to name a suitor with the financial clout to plausibility keep the company afloat.
Okay, no, he's the one who reported the story. He's not buying TNA.
Well, hold on. What? Major Hugo, well, all I know is that Toby Keith does not want anything to do with the company anymore.
But do you know why Toby Keith doesn't want anything to do with the company?
Intelligence?
Besides intelligence.
He was told the company, but he was told, fine, but we're still going to control it. You can own it, but we're going to run it. And like, what the fuck is that? No business, so, no deal.
Well, rest in peace, TNA.
Wait, what? You want to own it so you can make the money off of it?
Tell you what. Why don't you sell your restaurant, Toby Keith, but you keep running them all?
All right. So the group is called Summit Strategic Investments that are looking to buy a partnership of some sort with TNA Wrestling. They had dealings with Segway in the past. The CEO of SSI is named Roger Brown. His brother, Jason Brown, is the CEO of Aerolux Media, who has been help producing TNA's Impact Wrestling and sort of help funding their last few set of TV tapings.
This report was so much funnier when there were a pair of neo-Nazis involved.
Well, no, that's Aerolux. That's the company that Ron and Don Harris work for. So there is that connection still there, Omega.
Okay, good.
Aerolux is just the name of the company.
Honestly, TNA can use all the help that they can get, considering the fact that they are wrestling in their own warehouse.
God.
Because if
that red said read like a kayfabe news article, and like, oh my god, that's real.
I mean,
at this point, I'm like,
it's very small. Like the crowd right now, it's like, what is going on?
Oh,
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
It looks like the kind of crowd like an indie show like a VFW would be running.
Oh god. Well, you kind of are looking at the roster now, and it's like Styles gone, Joe gone.
But they've got Crazy Steve. Crazy Steve with the two
Stop
Z's.
Two Z's.
Stop that right now. Stop that right now, please.
What?
Stop.
What, you're not a fan of the decay?
Stop.
I would say that's qualified no.
They also have Eli Drake.
Oh, why have I not been tuning in?
For Eli Drake. Sit like that.
Eli Drake.
Yes.
Eli Cola.
It's bad when, like, your main TNA guys are like, about this renewal of contract, not going to happen. Signs out. Thank you so much.
Well, you see, like, the only reports I see from TNA right now is looking for investors and someone else left the company. It's like rats jumping from a garbage barge.
Happy trails to Velvet Sky and Christy Hemme, who are no longer a part of TNA Wrestling.
Oh, Jesus.
It's almost to the point where I'm like, can we, like, shake out the bail money jar and see if we can't put in a bid just to say we own it?
I got five on it.
But our money's going to some other project now, Omega.
No, it's not.
On a cloudy day.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Mike's the only one who's picking up on that. Thanks, Mike.
I'm just going to let you sing and just go with it.
Yeah, well, anyway, that being said, you're listening to the WTR in the Rust Talk Radio.
Sing us out, Tim.
Oh, God.
Me and Miss Jones. And that's all I'm going to do, so forget it.
Go break.
Anyway, we're going to break. Hey, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right on the other side of this break, we are going to present Payback Preview and Pick'em. Get ready! And if you haven't voted yet, take this break opportunity to go to www.wrestletalkradio.com. Vote for your choice for this week's matchup, all-time greatest, Shane and Test battle over Stephanie McMahon taking on Shawn Michaels' return to the ring, Jon Stewart costing John Cena, taking on The Undertaker, quote-unquote, beating Brock Lesnar at SummerSlam. Go vote now. Come on back. We'll be back by the time you get back. You'll listen to WTR Sunday night. We'll be right back. Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, shoot. Flex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moments.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once!
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and of course, WWE Superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Yeah.
out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air, don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Don't worry. I won't hurt you. I only want you to have some fun.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And for those of you that follow hockey, if you didn't catch my round one predictions for the NHL playoffs, Nick, because I know that you're kind of half interested in the NHL, you can check out part one and part two of my round one predictions on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. It's right there in the news section, right under the previews. And I have only gotten two wrong so far. Everything else is going absolutely perfectly. Absolutely perfectly. Not only am I picking the winners, but in every game, in every series but one, I have been picking the final, how many games each team wins. So if you want to check that out, I'm going to be posting round two predictions as soon as round one is wrapped up. And that could be, believe it or not, as early as tomorrow night. So, Mike, if you haven't read it yet, go read it. Not right now, though. No, you can't read it right now because you've got to play Pick'em for the very first time here on WTR Sunday Night as we preview and pick Payback. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, you got to talk louder, son.
I'm ready.
That's loud enough. Omega, are you ready?
Hang on, let me see. I'll improvise. No, I'm ready. I'm ready.
You sure? Good.
Yeah. Sure.
All your limbs intact. You're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
You got all 10 fingers and toes. All right. Good. Now those. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. In your case, 12. Yeah.
Okay. Good. Very good.
Yeah, but your arms are really short, man. You need a T-Rex on your wall.
Shut up.
It looks so great on his wall.
I'm just stalling for a couple of seconds because we want to make sure our unpaid intern is ready to record anything anybody writes down in the chat room. Plus, what we're saying live. Those of you who want to play Pick'em, please do so. I'm assuming that's the unpaid intern live in the chat room tonight.
Yes.
So if you post them in the chat room, that's all fine and dandy. Go ahead, he'll record them, but he needs to know who the hell you are. At the same time, we need you to go to facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network and post your Payback Pick'ems there. You can also email media@wildtalkradio.com. Believe it or not, you can tweet them @wildtalkradio. But we don't want any of you falling through the cracks. So the best way to do it is post it to the Facebook page.
Facebook group. facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio.com. Best way to do it.
The group, sorry. Yeah, no, the other one's just the like page. You want to be able to post in the group. facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio.network. Go there and post your Payback Pick'ems. That being said, it's time.
Oh, before we do that, Tim. Tommy, if you're listening, contact me ASAP.
How much time do you want to give him before the book reverts as a, to being a prize for somebody else for a different pick'em?
You got till Thursday.
There you go. So Tommy, come on, man, get off the schneid. Get the book that you won. You gotta email your info to Sir Rockin.
media@wildtalkradio.com, or you can send it to me on Facebook.
There you go. And if he doesn't get your email, then the John Cena book will be up for grabs for the winner for Payback.
Yeah, it's a deal, because you know, we want to give it out, so.
There you go. Yeah, so get off the schneid and get her done. Otherwise, boom, there you go. Our other winner got in touch with Rock, Sheila. Coincidentally enough, living in Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada, was the co-winner. And, Sheila, if you're listening tonight, your book is on the way. It's in the mail. It's going to take a little bit longer because it's being mailed to Canada from the States.
Yes. Lindsay is mailing it this week.
So it's on its way. No worries. Let's jump into, Payback. Right off the top, I guess this is going to be the main event. The WWE World Heavyweight Title Championship match. We got Roman Reigns versus the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
That's not built up to anything, or
did I just like start at the top and work my way down? That's what we always do. Shit. Yeah. So anyway, Omega, pick 'em.
Reigns by disqualification.
Ooh. Okay.
I'm still going with my Finn Balor prediction.
Fair enough. All right, Mike.
Reigns disqualification. Same thing with Omega. I'm sorry.
You are such a sheep, man.
No, it's the most logical thing.
There you go. Well,
okay, let's be scary because this is WWE we're talking about.
And the most WWE thing.
I predict that AJ is going to actually take control of that match and get a huge pop, and Roman Reigns is going to get booed mercilessly. And then attacked by, don't call them the Bullet Club, and winds up winning based on a DQ.
Okay, just, so you're basically saying you agree with us.
With everything we said.
Yeah, without actually going and saying, I agree.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. I had to, like, make it all, you know, artsy-fartsy shit. So, yeah, Roman's going to retain, but it's going to be a DQ or a non-finish. Wait, that's the tiebreaker. Will it be a DQ or a non-finish?
No, that's not the tiebreaker, no.
Damn. Okay, fair enough.
That's
so they go down and attack Roman Reigns. It's going to go down as
DQ.
Reigns by DQ.
There you go. Okay, so up next, the WWE Intercontinental Championship match. We got The Miz taking on Cesaro, Mike.
Cesaro clean.
Wow. Okay, Omega.
The Miz dirty.
There you go. I'm saying The Miz, and call it dirty or not dirty, but I'm pretty positive that Maurice is going to have some kind of effect on his.
Just say you agree with me.
No, because, she might not actually interfere and it might not actually be dirty. It might be a clean pin, but, distraction is never a dirty thing. Just ask any heel you've ever had to wrestle, right, Mike?
Omega, he was agreeing with you.
Just let's think about that one. Yeah, Miz retains because Maurice is going to be joining the cast of Total Divas, and they've got to spotlight them for a while. Yeah, sorry to blow it out of the water for you guys, but there you go. Miz retains. WWE Women's Championship, Charlotte versus Natalya Omega.
That's going to Charlotte.
Mike?
I Charlotte wins dirty, debut of Bayley.
My heart says Natalya, but my head says think like WWE booking it.
Tim.
Think like WWE booking.
Think like WWE booking.
Tim. Charlotte knocks Natty out with a pillow.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Tim, about 6 weeks ago, we had a discussion idea. What was that discussion idea?
It was 6 weeks ago. Come on, I don't remember what I had for breakfast.
You wanted to do, after WrestleMania, a feud between Natalya and Charlotte.
Yes, I did. I was saying that would be fantastic. Let's go for a feud, Natty versus Charlotte. That'll be great.
And look what we got here.
We got a feud between Natty and Charlotte.
There you go.
Am I happy? I've been very happy. The wrong fucking person's getting pushed, though. And ask Calgary Indie Wrestling Rules in the chat room. He picked Charlotte because he knows how to think like WWE booking. But I guarantee you his heart's with Natalya.
Look, we've been over this. You need to get over the crack addiction.
Oh, that could go so wrong so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on.
Make a picture.
I don't know how else you think like WWE booking. That's all.
Did you make your pick, Tim?
Yeah, Charlotte.
Okay, making sure. Just making sure.
So, yeah. Up next, Dean Ambrose taking on Chris Jericho. Who answered first last?
Oh, my God.
Mike.
Ambrose clean. Jericho gets upset and attacks Ambrose.
Ooh, there you go. Omega.
God, this one really could go either way. I'm giving it to Ambrose. God,
yeah.
Guy needs a win so bad.
Yeah, I'm giving it to Ambrose too. I view this as just another step of them bringing Ambrose along slowly, which they don't fucking need to do, but, putting him in the ring against another, veteran like that. And, you know that Jericho's going to pull out the best in Ambrose and just elevate it. We all thought at that house show, that was on the, WWE network that Ambrose looked absolutely solid gold against Triple H.
Who he beat 4 times this week.
4. Yep. And he beat Triple H 4 separate times, 4 separate outshows. I'm just saying it's another step up the ladder for Ambrose. They're slowly building him to be the monster, face for the company. I just have that feeling. So I'm going with Ambrose. Next match I'm looking forward to. Holy shit. There are 3 potential, show stealers on this,
mm-hmm.
3 of them. This next match, Kevin Owens taking on Sami Zayn. Oh, who wins? The fans. You've got one person from one side of Quebec taking on another person from the other side of Quebec. Oh.
Oh no, 2 Canadians. Who will Tim choose?
I'm gonna choose the Canadian. Goddamn. Sami Zayn just got brought up full time. Kevin Owens still getting established, is partially established. He's won a title a couple times. No title on the line or anything here. Oh, goddamn. I'm picking Sami Zayn. Omega.
I'm going with Owens. If I'm thinking typical WWE logic, and this took a few hits from a hammer to actually accomplish.
Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna let fans see Sammy get one over on Owens so fast. This is something you can draw out. This is money to draw this out and let the fans wait for Zayn to win.
Well, you know, this is logic though. This is what you're presenting is logic. And it's a WWE pay-per-view.
I'm aware of this. I'm willing to take that risk.
You're sticking with your pick. All right. Fair enough. Mike.
Sami Zayn has never beaten Owens, so Kevin Owens.
Wow. Yeah. So you can call my pick the shocker of the night, if it happens.
By the way, we forgot to mention in the women's match, Bret Hart make his WWE return since cancer.
Oh, yes.
His
first public appearance since, prostate cancer surgery.
Oh, that's, I forgot about that. Okay,
can
so. WWE logic, Brett and Natty calls for the match.
Natty wins.
Brett punches Rick Flair.
No. If we go to the typical WWE logic, this is going to be Brett turning on Natty.
That's closer to TNA logic.
No. Yeah. No, this leads to return of the Anvil, and then we get a Bret Hart Jim Anvil feud.
Oh, right.
Stop.
Yeah, and then Jim the Anvil Neidhart wins the Intercontinental title and holds it for 3 weeks before abdicating. No, I'm not going to pick that. I'm sticking with my pick on that one anyway. Basically the final match on the card that we know of as of this point. Number one contendership for the tag team championship. We got Enzo Amore and Big Cass. How you doing? Taking on the VOD villains. Omega.
Okay. Oh, jeez. I can't see them. God. It's so weird because both of these teams debuted the same week.
Yep.
You know, and they are both very gimmicky acts in the WWE spectrum. One's way more over than the other right now.
I'm going to give you the logical answer.
Oh, no.
Do you really want to see Enzo? Will they put Enzo and Big Cass against the New Day right now? Or do they wait for that match?
See, in my head, I'm imagining New Day versus Enzo on the mic.
Oh, God.
If I'm WWE, I'm seeing so many dollar signs. But I also acknowledge that the vaudevillains is one of those gimmicks that's either going to fly or flop on the big on the big screen.
Yep.
So if they're going to do anything with them, let's do it quickly.
Mm-hmm.
See if they work out, and if they don't, okay, let's maybe think repackaging or, you know, even a NXT return.
But up against the New Day to see if they can make it work on the main roster the way New Day made their lame gimmick be not.
Yeah. And meanwhile, that gimmick does give the New Day plenty of material to work with. To at least draw out a 1 month feud from them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a trial by fire, but it's one of those teams and one of those gimmicks where you really need to let it go and just see, does it work on the main roster or not? You know, the same way they did with Rose, same way they did with the Ascension, and that's not the best track record to show examples of.
But
Enzo and Cass, I think they know that's absolute fire right now. They can hold off. They can go feud with the Dudleys a little bit more and give the win to vaudevillains here.
Well, all right, Mike.
Seeing as though the vaudevillains have become a former NXT tag team champions, I think this is like the test for them to see what they can do on their first pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't both teams faces?
No, they're not.
Oh, shit.
The vaudevillains are heels.
The vaudevillains have heel in their name. Villain.
Yeah, but they went face in NXT for...
Yeah, at the end.
But if you
well, watch... they flipped back.
They did flip back at the end, yeah.
After they lost the belts.
But if you watch SmackDown, they were clearly the heels were the villain of the situation.
Well, okay. I'll give you that. But, just like Tim said... Dollar signs between Enzo, Cass, and
Tim
the
said,
New Day.
That was Omega who said.
Omega.
They are one in the same since they've been, you know, saying the
Quiet.
Same thing. So.
Stop.
Don't you dare.
Stop. And so I gotta go.
Reel it in.
I gotta go with Enzo and Big Cass. How you doing? 1, 2, 3.
How you doing? Yeah, Rock kind of pointed it out. Enzo and Cass are not done with the Dudleys. The Dudleys aren't getting any kind of a title run anytime soon.
I
did
say
Jesus.
I gotta keep...
Well, I'm not needed here. Okay. I know how it is.
Wait, don't hang up. Click. Hey, come back! He's in. Come on. Yeah, no, actually, Omega, you pointed it out, and Rock also added a couple of things to it. Do you want to find out if the vaudevillains are going to make it or not? This is a perfect opportunity. Put them up against the New Day, right? They're the bad guys going against the fan faves. I don't care if you want to call them heels or baby faces, they're the fan favorites. And that would be New Day. The vaudevillains are going to win. Enzo and Cass are not done with the Dudleys. That's just on hold until this pay-per-view is over with. That being said, there's a good chance the Dudleys might wind up interfering. Didn't Enzo and Cass beat the Dudleys?
They did.
Don't the Dudleys have a grudge?
You would assume.
Don't you think they might want some kind of revenge? Wouldn't that be great starting with them screwing over Enzo and Cass?
That you would say would be logical?
For the number one contendership? See, this is how I would book it. And I'm thinking this is incredibly going against the grain. I think this is how WWE is looking at things. Because it makes sense. So my choice of vaudevillains win in the by hook or by crook, they wind up being the number one contenders. And that, my friends, is what we have for Payback. Any rumored matches that might be made tomorrow night or Thursday night, Rock?
Not off the top of my head, because there's probably see something with the New Day in some fashion. We may get another women's match, but nothing is in stone right now. But these are the top six matches as of now.
As of right now, there you go. And, of course, programming note, don't forget, everybody, we're on an hour later than normal as a result of the pay-per-view. 11 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Mountain Time, immediately following Payback next Sunday night. So join us for the review show and to find out who wins Pick'em.
Now everyone has 30 seconds. Give me 30 seconds.
Okay, everybody, 30 seconds. Would you like me to promote maybe something?
No, I'm just saying, you have 30 seconds to vote now because I'm going to play the intro. Go to WrestleTalkRadio.com. Vote now.
You've got 30 seconds to vote while the intro is playing. Play the intro!
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Voting has been officially closed right now for the all-time greatest. Now we leave it up to the panel. Shane and Test battle over Stephanie McMahon in 1999 or the Heartbreak Kid. Shawn Michaels returns to the ring against Triple H in 2002. Omega.
I did like the feud with Test and Shane. I did like that period of... This is one of the rare periods of Stephanie McMahon's career that hasn't grated on my nerves. That said, HBK returning to the ring was magic. Cause that was something at that time where I thought my hero at the time was gone for good.
Same.
To see him come back, I didn't think I'd get to see that opportunity. It was amazing to watch it unfold.
Same.
Yeah. I can't vote against that.
All right, Mike.
I'm a huge Shawn Michaels fan, just like both of you. Seeing your favorite wrestler return to the ring after seeing him injured. I can't fight that. Shawn Michaels returned to the ring.
The heartbreaker himself, Tim Stein.
Who was Shawn Michaels' opponent when he returned to the ring in 2002? Would that be Chris Jericho?
No.
Okay, was it?
Triple H. It was an Elimination Chamber, wasn't it?
No.
No, this was before. Okay, I'm thinking when he started. I'm thinking when he got his tights back. No, he was against Triple H.
Triple H. This was Triple H and Shawn Michaels, SummerSlam 2002.
He got the victory.
Oh, excuse me while I sneeze quietly. This was
the period of Shawn's. I sold off all my tights. I only have jeans.
Wow. Yeah, the guy wasn't supposed to come back to wrestling ever again. He was supposed to be done, and that's all there is to it. And then, boom, all of a sudden, his back is healed enough, he can come back and wrestle for a couple more years. One of the biggest guys of the Attitude Era. That beat Shane and Test fighting over Shane's sister, which is just vaguely sick and disgusting in its own right for its own reasons.
So in a landslide, with the fan vote, 100%, when Shawn Michaels returned to the ring in 2002. So everyone's in agreement on that one. John Stewart cost John Cena at SummerSlam 2015, or The Undertaker and his face beat Brock Lesnar 2015. Omega.
Were we out of moments?
No, why?
I'm serious, neither one of these seems like huge things.
This was probably towards the end of the bracketing, and it just randomly, came together.
Okay.
Because we put the whole list together and then randomized it, so.
The host of The Daily Show costing John Cena a world title was just weird. That was fucking weird. Part of me knows, John Stewart kind of fits in because he's such a wrestling fan to begin with. He knows his stuff. He knows how to play the crowd. In that sense, he's probably, one of the best fits for a celebrity getting involved. But it's a celebrity getting involved in a world title match. It's just fucking bizarre. It's weird to say John Stewart turned heel.
Which he did.
God. Meanwhile, Undertaker beating Brock Lesnar. If I recall, that took a low blow to do that.
It did.
That's why the air quotes. So not Undertaker.
It also had the double meme face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Brock's laughing and Undertaker's summoning the hoary nether world. I will give it to Taker beating Brock, if only because that's during Brock's juggernaut run of he cannot be beaten, only survived. So only because that was, you know, like the first real loss he's taken during that run since beating Taker at Mania.
Mike?
Jesus. Undertaker beats Brock Lesnar and Jon Stewart. Honestly, to me, Jon Stewart cost John Cena in 15 because that was the biggest what the fuck in so far that year.
So which one are you going with?
I'm going with Jon Stewart cost John Cena.
All right.
It's a split.
It's a split, Tim.
Well, here's the thing, kids. This was not even a year ago. It was like, geez, what, 8 months ago? Mm-hmm. Something like that. So it doesn't seem like that big of a deal because it's so fresh. 5-10 years from now, it's going to be looked upon through replays and everything else like that as big moments. Right now, it's not looked upon as among the big moments because it's too new. But Undertaker beating Brock Lesnar with a low blow, Omega, you said it. It was one of those things that shouldn't have happened. You don't beat Lesnar. You survive him. You see, I gave you proper credit this time because I wasn't playing with you. But that whole thing, the whole feud, at some point in time, you knew that Taker was going to take something from Lesnar one way or the other. And it was figured this was going to be, how are they going to do it? Not that big a huge surprise as far as I'm concerned. Jon Stewart screwing over John Cena, keeping the belt on Seth Rollins. The repercussions pointed out to Jon Stewart afterwards. The whole thing encompassing. John Cena's Superman. He's not supposed to lose. Doesn't matter who he fights. People were bitching and complaining that John Cena was going for the championship in this match, leading up to this match, because, oh, it's John Cena. I don't like John Cena because he's John Cena. And then all of a sudden, boom, what the hell? Okay. John Stewart cost John Cena in 2015.
And the internet fan, as you did the voice of earlier, actually agrees. 53% of the vote went John Stewart costing John Cena in 2015. Moving on. Next week in the all-time greatest conversation, we have Bret Hart refuses to release Jerry Lawler from the Sharpshooter in 1993, taking on Alberto Del Rio cashing in on CM Punk in 2011. And Randy Orton cashes in on Daniel Bryan and Hulk Hogan versus Shawn Michaels in 2005. What you gonna do, brother, next week in the all-time greatest?
What you gonna do when they come for you? Play quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
All right, let's start with Heartbreak Mike. Mike, would you rather relive the same day over and over again for a year or skip ahead a year?
Skip ahead a year.
How come?
Because I just want to.
Fuck 2016.
Yeah, literally.
Tim, would you rather have $10,000 cash or $1 million in scratch-offs?
Now, wait a minute. $1 million in scratch-offs.
Mm-hmm.
In Canada, we just call them scratch and win. I'm assuming that you're talking about the tickets that you buy for $1 and you scratch.
Yes.
That's $3 or whatever their deal is.
Yes.
Are they $1 each?
Sure.
So $1 million in scratch-offs would be $1 million scratch-offs. That's a lot of scratching. Okay, no, wait a minute. It's
Tim Stein math. $1 million scratch-offs would be $1 million scratch-offs.
Well, it could be $10 tickets because we have them here. Then that way you've only got 100,000, right? So is it like one ticket winning $1 million or like you win $1 million in scratch-off ticket winnings or is it just 1 million tickets?
1 million tickets.
Well, you're going to win more than $10,000 because of the odds of winning is like 1 in 10,000. So, and some of those prizes are big. So you get like $10,000 on one scratch-off. So I'd take a million scratch-offs, please.
Okay.
See? Tim Stein logic.
Oh my God.
I tapped into... oh, what's his name? Fuck. Ugh, I hate that. I'll come back to me later.
Omega, would you rather have Daredevil's powers and be blind, or just be normal?
Steiner!
Holler if you hear Tim.
He's so dumb.
Don't worry, Tim. You got 144 2/3% chance of remembering that next time.
There you go. Don't tell me that's not funny. It makes you laugh.
Okay, so be normal or Daredevil.
Daredevil's powers and be blind.
Okay, Daredevil's powers are really, really incredible to the point where he could... He basically can see.
Right.
But there are certain things that just don't come through even in the most superhero of sonar vision colors and... You know, displayed visuals like on a computer screen or something like that. And
no, at the same time, Daredevil is technically not 100% blind, but he is legally blind.
It depends on who's writing him that month.
Yeah, that's true.
But for all intents and purposes, he's blind other than what he can see through what is essentially sonar.
Okay.
But, you know, like, the passions I have in my life are all visually based. I enjoy animation. I enjoy doing my videos and everything. This all requires eyes that can actually see what happens on a computer screen. Mm-hmm. So I think I would remain normal.
Okay. Mike, would you rather fight one duck the size of a horse? Or 100 horses the size of a duck.
One duck size of a horse.
Why?
Because I'd rather have one than a ton of them.
Okay. Tim, would you rather wait in line for 45 minutes to get $3 off a sandwich? Or not wait and pay full price.
I'm not going to wait 45 minutes just to get $3. If it was $30, I'd wait an hour.
That's a really goddamn expensive sandwich.
I was about to say, if it's a sandwich that you can save $30 on, holy fuck, how many people are you feeding?
All right, so you'd rather pay full price for something.
I'm not waiting in line 45 minutes.
That's a first. You're paying full price for something.
No, it's not a first. I mean, sure, I'm cheap, but I'm not stupid. I'm not cheap to the point of stupid.
Okay, Omega, would you...
Extremely stupid, because that's extremely stupid.
Okay, Omega, would you rather wake up tomorrow and find that you've magically switched bodies with Donald Trump or Justin Bieber?
Ooh.
Trump.
You're the worst shit, right.
Why Trump?
Because the other choice is Justin fucking Bieber.
Okay. Okay, what are the circumstances behind this? Like, I just switch bodies and that's it?
Yes.
And I'm Donald Trump forever?
Yes.
You're... Okay, for starters, number one, fuck Bieber. But number two... You realize you're literally giving me the chance to save the world, right?
Yes.
I could either be the biggest jack off in music history next to Kanye West.
Wait.
You just offended the black guy.
Don't care.
Offend him because he's black. Relax.
Or I could stop the country from getting nuked. Because frankly, at this point, I'm pretty sure I'd make a better presidential candidate than him.
And when you're president, you will have a T-Rex on your wall.
At that point, yes.
All right.
You know how much it would freak out North Korea?
Omega
keep their people so stupid, they don't realize the T-Rexes are gone.
Omega for president, just for the T-Rex.
There you go. That would be quick hits, Tim.
And that would be another edition of Russ Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks for joining us tonight, everybody. Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, there's a show called Immediately Following Raw.
Or it's actually called the Raw Post Show.
It's the Raw Post Show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, all 3 hours of Raw condensed into about 25 minutes.
It's Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on WWE Monday Night Raw. Will Finn Balor be there? We'll talk about it, whether he is or he isn't. Tune in. Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
There you go. And, of course, there's another edition of the multi-time, multi-board winning multi-rack.
Go back and listen to last week's episode where we talked China and the TNA sale, and go check out the Rack Extra Total Divas Season 5, Episode 13 and 14. Available now at RackRadioShow.com. Join us this week. We'll talk about WWE Payback, NXT. We may go camping. You never know. It's the Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern at Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. Get us on iTunes at Rack Radio Show, and get us on Google Play, Rack Radio Show. Check out the website, RackRadioShow.com, and follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Lindsort.
There you go. Yeah, Saturday night, midnight-ish, close as they can get to it. The wild, the weird, the wacky, the unusual, the abortion of the internet, CB Radio.
We're not that bad.
Have you listened to your show?
Yes. Yes, I have. We're not an abortion. Anyway, just come check out, I haven't figured out a classy name for it yet, but it's CB Radio, Rob Parks' birthday show. I figured it out a special name for it.
Rob birthday show.
The hashtag Blame Rob birthday show. Because it falls on his birthday, so it will be the birthday show. Tune in. Never know what happens. CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter. CBRadioLive.com. When a celebrity dies, use the hashtag.
Blame Rob.
Blame Rob. Because that's how I was alerted about China. Someone used the hashtag. Blame Rob. It's a thing. It catches on.
It's sadly. Caught up with people that know it. That's for sure. Spread the word.
Sadly, it's a thing.
Unfortunately, yeah. And of course, next Sunday night, don't forget, programming note, 1 hour later because of the pay-per-view, it's the payback review version of WTR Sunday Night Russ Talk Radio. We will, break down what happened at payback and let you know who won Pick'em. That being said, follow me on the Twitter machine, not once, but twice because it's so bloody nice, at Flames Forums. Or at Man Kitchen TV. Check me out on Facebook. Just type in facebook.com/menchefs. Once again, follow the Wild Talk Radio Network at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Wild Talk Radio Network can also be found on Facebook. facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join one and like the other.
Because we're awesome. Wow. At WTR Sunday on Twitter, facebook.com/WTR Sunday night.
There you go. Absolutely. And, of course, follow Mike because he finally got, like, Twitter.
Yeah, I finally got this thing called Twitter. So follow me, the WTR Oreo. Yes, that is me. Please follow me on Twitter because I need a ton of followers. Well, not a ton of followers, but some followers. And I will follow you back.
Omega is all over the place.
Yeah, that's kind of what I do. So I'm all over the internet. So anything I am up to can usually be found at TJ Omega. That is the Twitter address, at TJ Omega. It is the website, tjomega.org. It is the YouTube channel, TJ Omega, where there is new content every single weekday and a little bit on the weekends if I have the time. And then if you are inclined to Facebook, it is TJ Reviews for all the times I can actually remember to update that page.
By the way, Landslide says Omega should get a T-Rex.
Landslide. 10 people voted, 9 people said yes.
I hate you all.
That being said, thanks for tuning in tonight. Have yourselves a great week, everybody. Catch you next Sunday.